In the name of Jesus, amen. From our gospel reading today, from the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Our gospel reading today focuses on two related words, the word of house and the word mercy. And if we do a little word search here, the original word for house used in the Bible that Jesus uses is the ancient Greek word by which we get the modern English word economy, economy or house originally. The English word economy is from the ancient Greek word for a household and how you run your household. In our gospel reading today, Jesus follows Matthew to his house and eats with sinners. And besides the word economy, the other word highlighted in our gospel reading today is the word mercy. I desire mercy, Jesus says, and not sacrifice. And the ancient Greek word for mercy used here in the Bible, it is still used by Christians around the world in many languages today. It's Kyrie eleison, or Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy, what we sung the first part of the service. And the word for mercy in the Bible also includes the meaning of compassion or being drawn to someone out of a deep, heartfelt need. Put these two words together, house, economy, mercy, and we get our theme for today, the economics of mercy. As a church, we're called to be a household of mercy and called in to a household of mercy. Remember that ancient Greek word for house is where we get the modern English word for economy. And Jesus calls us today to be part of his economics of mercy, his household of mercy. Our gospel reading begins with Jesus calling Matthew, the tax collector, to be one of his disciples. Jesus then eating with the household of sinners in Matthew's own house. Jesus goes to his house. So our gospel reading begins with Jesus saying to Matthew, follow me. Jesus says to Matthew, who's sitting at a tax collector's booth. Matthew rises and follows Jesus. The details are pretty sparse. But if we fill it in a little bit to the context, I think we can relate. Nobody really likes taxes. And in Jesus' day, people really didn't like taxes. It was actually much more taxing than that. They were forced to pay foreign powers who occupied and abused them. And not only is Matthew a tax collector, he's a con. Not only is he a con, he's associated with crooks. And not only is he a crook, he's one who extorts money from widows and the poor. He's also a traitor. He's collecting money for the enemy. I could just go on the list of ways that Matthew would be reviled. And he's generally considered by seemingly everyone to be an all-around worthless individual, a social parasite. Well, Jesus sees this social parasite, the crook. That's precisely the kind of people Jesus looks for to be his disciples. When you look at the original crew of the disciples, you've got terrorists, tax collectors, fishermen, the whole lot. Jesus calls public sinners like Matthew to remind us, private sinners that we are, everyone is a sinner. Public or private. As scripture says, all fall short of the glory of God. We are all captive to sin. And while we might think some fall more short than others, it doesn't matter when you're falling. We're all captive to sin. We cannot free ourselves. Jesus says in our gospel reading today, I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. No one is righteous. There's only one righteous one. And that's Jesus, the one who calls with mercy. He calls sinners to mercy. Jesus says to Matthew, follow me. And then, if you know what happens next, Jesus follows Matthew. He follows Matthew to Matthew's house. This seems strange. And we are beginning to understand the economics of mercy with Jesus. Or you probably would expect Jesus to call Matthew out of that tax collector booth, out of that public sin, to call him out of his home, to follow Jesus somewhere safe and sound away from all of that, and especially his tax collector friends. "Let's just get out of here," you could see Jesus perhaps say. But Jesus doesn't say that. He wants to eat with the tax collectors and give them mercy too. And I think for us as Christians, Jesus doesn't want us to run away from our reality, even when it seems everything's against us. God wants us to confront the reality with the reality of our sin, but also with the reality of his mercy, which is always here for us, to follow him where we find ourselves. Jesus wants us to confront that reality of sin and also confront the reality of living as a sinner with mercy where we're at. Jesus says in the Gospel of John that he actually wants to make his home with us. He wants to drive out the spirits of pride and shame and sin and greed from our homes and fill our homes and our hearts with his mercy and his presence. That's why he comes down from heaven, to make his home where we are, to come to us. That's how the economics of mercy works. You follow Jesus, and Jesus follows you. He follows you right into your home, into your hearts. He changes reality by mercy. You know, the word economy, which I keep coming back to today, it also refers, right, to value and to exchange. Economy is about what we value and what we exchange. We often value, if we're honest, our own comfort, our own prestige. We exchange money to buy comfort, to buy prestige. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with being comfortable per se, or pride for work well done. We should have pride for work that we do well. But Jesus calls us to value something a little more deeper, to value his mercy above all else, to actually exchange his mercy with others. You know, all of us and everyone needs the mercy of Jesus. And our economy as the household of sinners is given by Jesus, who calls this house also a house now of the Savior. And here in this house of God, Jesus exchanges with us, doesn't he? He exchanges his mercy for our sin. That's the exchange. As Jesus says in our gospel reading, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners." And Jesus doesn't desire sacrifice, well, because on the cross, he's the ultimate and final sacrifice. He's got that covered. He is the sacrifice for sinners. Jesus exchanges his very life, his very soul on the cross for our life and for our soul. Jesus, who was no sin, became on the cross, as scripture teaches, sin, our sin. On the cross, Jesus exchanges sin for mercy. Jesus dies for sinners, meaning Jesus dies for us. That's the economics of God's house. Jesus exchanges our sin for his mercy. God values us so much that he gives his very own son. He gives his heart, if you will, full of mercy for sinners. Jesus exchanges our sin for his mercy. And so, right, that we would exchange that mercy for others, the mercy of Jesus, and the mercy of Jesus to others. He exchanges comfort and prestige for sinners like you and me. And sometimes, like the Pharisees in our gospel reading, as we read on in the narrative, the mercy of Jesus can make them, and I think if we're honest, can make us a little uncomfortable. In our gospel reading today, the Pharisees grumble at this economics of mercy in Jesus. How Jesus, it says, reclines, eats with, or think of it this way, he's comfortable in mercy with sinners. Sinners like Matthew, the tax collector. And our gospel reading today makes a point that many tax collectors and sinners came to Jesus to eat with him and his disciples. And Jesus calls Matthew the tax collector, and Matthew then calls other tax collectors and sinners to eat with Jesus. It's wonderful how that works. Realizing that we're sinners too, not deep down all that different from Matthew, we can sometimes realize the discomfort, how about this one, with our sin. And when we realize that own discomfort with our own sin, we become ready to eat with Jesus. And if our own sin does not make us uncomfortable, then as scripture says, the truth is not in us. In our gospel reading, it starts with that discomfort, I suppose, of eating with Jesus. Jesus shares a dinner with sinners. It's a sinner dinner. And here at this table, here at the Lord's house, here at this sinner dinner, which we get again, we receive, don't we, the economics of mercy. Here in this house of sinner, but also a house of the Savior, Jesus exchanges again our sin for his mercy. As sinners with nothing but sin to exchange, we kneel down, right? We open our hands because we've got nothing to give, but we've got everything to receive. This has been called a great exchange, the greatest of them all, our sin for Jesus's mercy. Instead of valuing comfort, we value that discomfort of Jesus. The discomfort that knows deep down we are sinners, that never lets that reality escape us this side of heaven. And the discomfort of living and serving other sinners with the mercy of Jesus. It is discomforting to realize you're a sinner, and it is discomforting to serve sinners. In our gospel reading today, after exchanging sin for mercy, Jesus says, go and do likewise. Follow what I have done. So think about that today. Who in the pattern and course of living in our lives, in our going here and there, can we exchange the mercy of Jesus for their sin? Who can we forgive in Jesus? Who can we exchange compassion for anger? Who can we exchange that for? Sin for mercy. You can't think of someone to exchange that for. You're probably not really looking. Matthew, the tax collector, was in plain sight. Everyone saw him as a public sinner, easy to ignore. But Jesus doesn't. Matthew, the tax collector, knew a thing or two about economics. He knew about taking comfort and profit from others. He was well suited to have that exchanged in Jesus. He hadn't factored on Jesus, though. Jesus who exchanges Matthew's sin for everlasting mercy. I suppose, right, forgiveness, it just doesn't add up. It doesn't factor out right after all. It's not fair. And it won't be fair when we treat others with mercy. And if we just add up and factor all the wrongs that we do to each other, or even all the rights that we did, we'll end up with a count of grievances and a count of burnout. How many times Jesus' followers asked him, should I forgive my sister or brother? There's no count, no limit, Jesus says, to forgiving others. There's no count, no limit to how much we've been forgiven. There's no count, there's no limit to how much Jesus forgives us. And so Jesus says to sinners like us today, in your life, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Amen.